women and girls being freed from human trafficking, disasters being responded to, and on it goes. So I want to thank you for the way that your ministry is amplified here from Grand Forks. Really, it reverberates all around the world, and we're grateful for the partnership that we share. Well, I grew up in a day and age before cell phones, and so we had a phone in our home, and you never knew who it was going to be for when it rang. And I'm the youngest of four children, and so for me, as a child, when the phone rings, it's usually something good. Usually, it's an invitation. And so when the phone would ring and somebody would answer and then call out, "Gary, it's for you," that was always a good thing because it meant someone was going to start a sentence with, "Hey, you wanna? Hey, you wanna go play baseball down at the school? You wanna go to a movie? You wanna do an overnight?" It was always something that that was an invitation to something. And one time the phone rang and, "Hey, Gary, it's for you." And take the phone, and my friend says, "Hey, you want to go to church?" Now, I was in high school at the time, and I grew up in a home I'm very grateful for, but we really had no spiritual leanings at all. And I said, "Yeah, I'll go." And it was a brand new church plant, a church just starting, maybe only 30 or 40 people at the time. It was a New Covenant church. I grew up just north of San Francisco. And there, for the very first time, I heard that there is a God. Well, I kind of thought there might be, but that this was a God who loved me. It was a personal God, wanted to live in relationship with me. And I committed my life to becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, all because of an invitation on a phone. And the point is this: you never know how an invitation is going to change your life. Well, in the Gospels, there are three times where Jesus issues an invitation. And we're going to look at all three of those this morning because I'm convinced that one of those invitations is for you this morning. So as we're going through these three invitations that Jesus gives, just be wondering, Jesus, is that something you're inviting me to? Three times Jesus begins a statement with the word "come." Three times he issues an invitation. We're going to look at those this morning. The first invitation comes in Mark's gospel. Mark's telling of the story of Jesus. It's found actually in all the gospels, but it's the invitation that Jesus gives to Peter and Andrew. And Jesus simply says, "Come, and I will make you fishers of people." This is Jesus' invitation to come and make a difference. It's the invitation to join Jesus in pursuing God's purposes. It's the invitation to know that your life counts, that your life makes a difference. Jesus says it in other ways, in other places. He's getting at it in Mark 8:34. "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it." In other words, when we grasp and hold on to the things of this life, things kind of slip through our fingers. But when we release our grasp and hold on instead to the things that God values, then life takes on significance and dimension and meaning. You see, God says, "I've given you the abilities and the relationships and the aptitudes to make a difference." God sees something in your life. You see, there's a difference between success and significance, and it's important in our culture to understand the difference. There's a difference between success and significance. In our culture, success is about what you bring into your life, what you amass into your life. So amassing more education and wealth and power and reputation and prestige. Now, don't get me wrong. striving to do our best and having a sense of accomplishment isn't a bad thing. It's just not ultimately a satisfying thing. When we only amass things into our lives, we can end up in the funk that was experienced by novelist Upton Sinclair, who said, "I fear that though I am living comfortably enough, I am not living nobly enough." Or Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, the richest, wisest person of his age, said that even with all that he had accumulated, finding meaning in his life was like chasing after the wind. Significance is different than success. Significance is found when we invest in those things outside of us that outlive us. It comes from investing in a cause greater than our own lives. It's taking the giftedness and the talents that God has given to us and using them for things that ultimately matter to God. Because God does see something in you. He sees your potential to make a difference. You might be thinking, well, I don't think I have anything to offer that's important to make a difference in the world. But that's the point. These are humble fishermen that Jesus says, "Come and I will make you fishers of men." These weren't accomplished and trained people. What does Jesus say? He says, "I will make you fishers of men." Jesus sees their potential of what they can become in making a difference for God. And so you might be thinking, what do I have to offer? But that's exactly the point. Jesus is the one who will make you. He was the one who will develop you and shape you and mold you as you have that heart to pursue the purposes of God. There's a story told of Muhammad Ali, and he loved comic books, and his favorite was Superman, and in fact, he would even refer to himself as Superman. And there's a story told of Muhammad Ali that he was on a plane that was getting ready to take off, and the flight attendant came over to him and said, "Excuse me, Mr. Ali, it's time to put on your seatbelt." To which he replied, "Seatbelt? Seatbelt? Superman don't need no seatbelt." To which the flight attendant replied, "Yeah, well, Superman don't need no airplane either. Now, put on your seatbelt." God's not looking for people with superhuman powers. In fact, think of all the ordinary and the plain and the flawed people that God used in Scripture. Noah was a drunk. Jacob was a liar. Moses stuttered. Rahab was a prostitute. David was an adulterer. Isaiah preached naked. Now, Pastor Paul, don't get any ideas. Jonah ran from God. Job was bankrupt. Abraham was too old. Martha was too worried. Zacchaeus was too short. Timothy was too young. And Lazarus was too dead. God's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for people who are willing to be found faithful. So are you willing to be made by Jesus? Just as Jesus says, "I will make you fishers of people." You see, Jesus sees the potential in you. And he invites you to come and make a difference. Paul mentioned that we have three daughters, and we have four granddaughters as well. So we've had seven girls in a row born in our family, the odds of which are 128-1, in case you were wondering. But with our youngest daughter, I was teaching her preschool class at church one time, and the subject was generosity, and I came up with an object lesson all by myself for preschoolers. I was pretty proud of myself. So what I did was I gave half the class two of those little goldfish crackers, and to the other half of the class, I gave no goldfish crackers, And again, the subject's generosity. And I asked the very simple question. Half the class has two, half the class has none. Asked the very simple question, now children, what can we do to make sure that everyone has a cracker? And my own daughter, my own flesh and blood, blurted out while clutching two goldfish crackers in her own tight little fist, I know, Dad, you can go to the store and buy some more. And what she failed to realize, is this. The only reason she had been given two crackers in the first place was to give one of them away. And God has given you specific abilities and aptitudes and relationships and people that you know, things that you can do. And you know what? He hasn't given those to you to clutch in your own tight little fist. He knows the difference that you can make, and he invites you to a life not of success, but of significance. Will you answer that invitation today? Now, there's a second invitation that comes, and it comes in Matthew chapter 11. And it's the promise of comfort and the promise of strength, even in discouragement and even in the demands of life. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yes, Jesus invites us to make a difference, to live a life of significance, full of meaning. But life is also full of potential exhaustion and frustration and even brokenness. And Jesus invites us to come to him even in that weariness. You know, it's interesting to look at images that the New Testament uses of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The Apostle Paul, in the very last letter that he wrote to a younger follower named Timothy, in that letter he uses three images right in a row. He uses the image of an athlete and a farmer and a soldier. And what do those three images have in common? They have in common focus and dedication and action and exertion. That giving out, that moving forward, that pouring out of heart and energy like an athlete, a farmer, and a soldier. But there are other images of walking with God that aren't the pouring out images, they're the taking in images, the receiving images, a clay cup, a sheep, a branch tied to the vine. Those are images not of exertion. Those are images of receiving, the cup for whatever's poured into it, the clay cup for being molded, sheep that will be led, branches that receive sustenance from the vine. And so Jesus says to the exerting ones, yes, yes, this cause is worthy of your complete attention and dedication and focus and your very best energies. Yes, think like an athlete, a farmer, and a soldier. But when that exertion leads to depletion, come to me. Think of a different set of images, images that receive, and in that receiving, you will find rest. You know, at some point, we are inevitably going to come up against our limits, and we'll even be broken in the process. But I'm reminded some insights that a friend of mine, a colleague of mine, John Wenrick, has about brokenness. you know, not all brokenness is the same. When we think of brokenness, our natural response is to think that when things are broken, they have no use any longer. So the plumbing breaks or the computer breaks and the toaster breaks. When they're broken, they're of no use. But do you know that there are other things that have no use until they're broken? A horse can't race until what? Until it's broken. A baseball mitt is no good until it's broken in. In case of emergency, break glass. And what's it say on your medicine? Break this seal. And the bedrock reality of our faith is that God uses broken things. In fact, our entire faith is built on this statement of Jesus about his sacrifice on the cross. This is my body, broken for you. What does King David in the Psalms say is a worthy sacrifice to God? A broken spirit and a contrite heart. You see, God uses broken things. Not a brokenness that leads to disuse, but a brokenness that when those pieces are placed back into the hands of God, God can remake and reshape for greater dimensions of sensing God's intimacy and mercy and presence and reshaping for deeper service to others. Are you weary? Are you burdened this morning, even broken this morning? Well, Jesus says, come. Jesus invites and says, come to me, all of you. That includes you. You're in the all. All. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there's a final invitation that Jesus gives. It's in the Gospel of John in the very last chapter, chapter 21. It says, after the resurrection, and the disciples have, some of them have been out fishing and they haven't caught anything. The dawn is breaking and somebody calls from the shore, hey, have you tried casting your nets on the other side of the boat? Well, that's the last thing fishermen want to hear after a long night of not having success is somebody from the shore telling them how they could do it better. But they do, and they take in this big haul, and they recognize that was Jesus who was saying that to them. And as they're coming in, Jesus offers this last invitation. He says, come, have breakfast. While they've been out fishing, Jesus has been fixing them breakfast. It's the invitation to companionship, of savoring time with Jesus. No agenda other than a meal together and making sure that their relationship is in good stead, that there are no lingering issues that would keep them apart. After having breakfast around that fire on the beach, you see, Jesus says, hey, Peter, let's go for a walk. And to understand what happens, you need to remember that on the night when Jesus was betrayed, three times Peter denied even knowing Jesus. And as they're walking on the beach, Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, you know I love you. And Jesus asks a second time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I love you. And then Jesus asks a third time, Peter, do you love me? And it dawns on Peter what's happening. Oh, this is about stress in our relationship. It's about how I denied Jesus. This is about Jesus coming to me and wanting to make sure that our relationship is right. So Peter, that deeper, fuller understanding of what's going on, a third time says, "Yes, Jesus, you know that I love you." You know, it's interesting as you think through what's going on in that passage, three things are really happening. It all centers from Jesus simply wanting that companionship with Peter. And you can see in that outflow of what's going on, Jesus is really saying three things. Peter, I know you. You know, he knows Peter with all of his shortcomings, all of his strengths, but he knows Peter. And God knows you. God's your creator. God knows you. But, you know, you can know someone and not love someone. But Jesus is showing Peter, not only do I know you, and I know your strengths, but I also know your shortcomings. But Peter, I'm having this conversation because I love you. And God knows you. He's your creator. But God's also your redeemer. God loves you. He welcomes us back. Even when we know we've walked away. He's our redeemer. He welcomes us into that companionship. Then after they have that relationship, Jesus, just as he said at the beginning when Peter was fishing, he invited him into the grand cause saying, come follow me. You know what he says at the end of this conversation? Come follow me. Again. You see, Jesus knows him. Jesus loves him. And Peter was made for that relationship. Just as you are. God knows you. God loves you. You were meant for this relationship. Jesus invites you into that companionship. Three invitations. Which one is for you? Come and make a difference. Come and rest. Come and be my companion. I want us to spend a few minutes in reflection. So just in the quiet of your own heart, maybe even just kind of looking down so you can focus, I'm going to ask you to respond. Which invitation is for you this morning? And I'm going to ask you to just kind of slip your hand up when we get to the invitation that you think God has for you this morning. Okay, so in a prayerful posture, is the invitation for you to come and make a difference? Do you sense that God has something for you to do? That he's calling you maybe to something large and consuming, like being involved in ministry, but maybe it's something in your neighborhood. Maybe it's an opportunity to serve through this church. Maybe it's a conversation that you know God wants you to have. If that invitation is come and make a difference, just slip up your hand right now. Okay, I see that. I see hands all over this place of worship. And I want you to know that God, who is giving you that invitation, will also be your strength to see it through. How many of you this morning are hearing the invitation to come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden? How many of you feel that invitation to rest? Where you need to know that God is walking with you through through moments of heaviness or brokenness. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Oh, God has brought you here today to reassure you, to let you know that He walks with you even in the heavy moments of life. And how many, for you, it's just simply, come and be my companion. Where you know that there's distance between you and God, and you know that God doesn't want that distance, and you don't want that distance either. If that's for you, to reset your relationship with God this morning, just raise up your hand, slip up your hand. And as you do, just know God stands ready with His arms wide open to embrace you, to welcome you, to walk in newness of relationship. I'm going to ask Pastor Paul to come up and invite us to prayer. Some of you have in your heart already prayed, and that's great, but maybe some of you also want to have a chance for others to pray for you. And so Paul's going to have an opportunity to invite, if you want more prayer, to be able to.
Let's stand together. So one of the things for many of us, if not most of us, is we have these ideas in our head and we hold them inside of us. But oftentimes the solidification of that idea comes when we take a step. We physically move and offer ourselves to God. In the front of the church here, many through the years have come and knelt here or stood here and said, God, I would love to have the rest. God, I would love to have you help me make a difference with my life. And so if you're one of those people, I'm going to keep talking here for a moment, but you start coming up and just make that solid profession of faith to say, God, I need this. If you could help me rest, if you could help me make a difference. And then others of you, again, your heart's desire for some of you is, I want relationship with Jesus, but you've never taken the step of asking Him to be your Savior and Lord. And I'd invite you to come and work your way to the cross. In this church, we take a white rose from the basket and we place it at the foot of the cross in the vase as a symbolic gesture of saying, God, I would love new life in me. If it's a recommitment, there's a lavender rose there as well, and you can place that in a vase. Let me lead us in prayer, and you move and come and ask God to continue to work in your life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you so much for your love and grace. God, many of us have a strong desire to not just hang out in life, but to have you create significance through us and in us. So God, we ask for that, and others of us rest. We just are tired, and we ask you to comfort us and restore us with your Spirit. And for others, to come to faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as the worship team sings, you come.
Your breath in our lungs, so we pour.
sitting there and you're thinking, you know, I really ought to surrender my life to Christ, turn from want and ought to I want to, or I get to. Because we have a God that's inviting you, like he did with the disciples, come have breakfast, but it's more than just the food. It's an invitation to walk with him and to be loved by him and to grow in him. As you've heard, when someone surrenders their life to Christ or makes a public decision, we applaud and give praise to God. Those people are surrendering their lives. If God's prompting you, just walk to the cross and say, okay, I'm in. I don't get it all. I don't understand everything, but I'm in. I want to walk with Jesus.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, Lord.
Sense God prompting you to move. I'm going to do the benediction or the blessing on you. You don't need to bow your head during the blessing, but you receive it. If you sense God prompting you, I encourage you, I beg you, don't turn around and walk out. Don't turn around and walk up, but walk toward him. Right? Surrender your life. May the Lord our God bless you. May he cause his face to shine on you. May our God who loves us bless us and grant us peace in his grace. Go into the world. Let God love you. Love him in return and love others in Jesus' name. Go be church. Give God praise.
Shout your praise. Our hearts will cry.
church choir.